This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
You're tuned to Around Montgomery County on WSMI. I'm your host, Sean Bellent. Today we're going to talk about a topic impacting a lot of professions out there, staffing. But it's a profession that is important to us all, and that's education. Suddenly, school districts around Illinois are struggling to find teachers. And we'll talk on the topic with Regional School Superintendent Julie Wallerman. Well, we're talking to Regional School Superintendent Julie Wallerman, and the job is always challenging. But Julie, I have to think, with all of the developments we've seen over the past 2 years, a heck of a lot more challenging than it was before.
That is certain. For everyone in education, educators, leaders, support personnel, our staff personnel, you know, from bus drivers to food service, it's been a challenge all the way around for all of us.
Yeah, we were talking previously that one of the interesting wrinkles with so many deep discussions about what's going on with schools is trying to fit the needs of the city of Chicago and Chicago public schools and the collar counties and downstate. And they don't always mesh well, but boy, we have some commonality, and that's not exactly a good thing because everybody has the same problem, a lack of teachers. This new survey of school districts, it's pretty mind-boggling. The teacher shortage, they say, has become a crisis. Who am I to argue? 88% of school districts say they have a teacher shortage. 77% said it's getting worse, and 93% say they expect it to get even worse in the years ahead. Boy, I don't imagine this happened overnight, but it sure feels like it.
Well, it might to the average person, but we've seen it coming in education. Before COVID hit, we talked about the fact that when we would, at a large district, say Litchfield, Taylorville, Hillsboro, Effingham, we would put out a call for an elementary teacher, and you could receive a stack, 100 resumes of people wanting to teach. And we started noticing that dwindling 2 to 3 years ago. The numbers were going down. And we're down to, like, you might get 10 applications for what we used to get 100. We started noticing that we've always had struggles with some of the higher level classes for teachers, you know, English, science, things of that nature. Special education's always been tough. But now we're seeing problems. We can't find PE teachers. We can't find elementary teachers. We can't find junior high social studies. These are jobs that we were able to fill and had people fighting for them. And now those numbers have dwindled tremendously. We saw it coming before COVID. COVID's hit, and people have really taken a look at what you have to do in education and the things that happened there. And man, it's just exploded into a really major problem.
Well, this is really something. One of the things that really hits a nerve is when you read about people having to teach classes they're not really qualified for, teaching out of their subject area. Is that much of a problem across Region 3?
Yes, we are doing that because we have to cover places. ISB has passed rules. The Illinois State Board of Education has been helpful in passing new rules and ways to get more people certified and in the classroom. So we've done that we might have a certified teacher that's certified in math, but they're teaching English. But we've done some basic qualifications. They are certified. So that's a big step. And then moving them towards being certified in those other areas. But we've had, just for this, to try to get more substitutes, we've passed rules in the state that have dropped those requirements because we need people in the buildings. So yeah, it is a problem. We've got people teaching out of their area. We have classes that have had to drop. We've had things to have to go to remote. We have buildings across counties that will share teachers virtually just to make sure a class gets offered to their students because there's nobody there to teach it.
Well, this comes at the same time that, the legislature, I mean, there was so much activity. Everything happened with such a flourish. You know, Mike Madigan. And we're not here to talk about Mike Madigan, but, you know, there was kind of a sense of order in the legislature, and all of a sudden you get new leadership for the first time in 40-plus years, and all of a sudden ideas get put on paper and ideas get passed. And we're talking about, you know, foreign language requirements and this new shift. I guess it only has to make the situation a little more daunting.
Yes, lots of new things coming down the pipe, foreign language, computer science, different things of the nature. It's not getting any easier. And we started before COVID hit to talk about what we can do to help with the teacher shortage. And right now it's kind of just in crisis mode, trying to put Band-Aids on things. But we really need to be looking forward. How can we get our most talented students to be looking into one of the greatest professions in the world? And that's sharing your knowledge and skills with students so that they too become contributing citizens and go out and do good things. So these are the things that we're dealing with, but we're also knowing we need to be looking forward also.
Anything that people can do out there to help with that, I guess that restoration of how we felt about teachers over the decades. I know things have changed. When I was a kid, you got in trouble with a teacher and your parents came after you. Now it can go the other way. And, you know, I know that certainly is that's a tough thing. I mean, parent-teacher conferences, usually it was the kid on the defensive. Now it's, you know, the teacher on the defensive in some cases. I know it's hard to put the genie back in the bottle, but do people need to look in the mirror about how they look at teachers?
Well, I think we all need to do that. I mean, I know there's always going to be a few bad teachers, just like the way there's a few bad doctors, a few bad mechanics. You know, there's always someone in our profession, whatever that profession is, that makes the rest of us look bad. But for the most part, we have excellent teachers across our 5-county area, and they are giving it their all every day. And those good teachers have a passion for those students they're teaching. And that's what, as parents and community members, we need to encourage all of our kids to follow their passion and what they want to do. Because as you and I both know, if you love what you do, you're not going to work every day. You're going to your passion every day. So we need to encourage our kids. You know, if you want to go to vocational school and you want to become the best welder there is out there, that's awesome. And we want to support that. And if you want to go to school and you want to be the best teacher there is, we really need to support that too. And we need to remember to show and give the respect what our teachers are doing every day in front of our students and all the craziness that they're dealing with.
I guess this is where we really feel the pain of the events of a handful of years ago. I want to say it was during the recession, roughly, 10 years ago, when all of a sudden all of these districts had to shed teachers because of financial woes. And you had all of these young teachers who were, boy, in their first gig or very early in their career. And I don't know the extent of the impact here in Region 3, but talking about the past doesn't solve the problem. But I guess that's where sometimes the developments of the past really start to hurt right now, because you think of those teachers, those young teachers that moved on to other fields, they'd be in their prime.
Yeah, you're exactly right, Sean. We did have that. Money was so tight, and school districts were having to cut the number of educators and increase the number of kids in the classroom. And we had a lot of great teachers that were coming out of college that just couldn't find jobs. And now we're in the place that, man, we could use all those teachers and then some to all their friends. So yeah, we ended up, thanks to a lack of money and funding throughout the state, we really did ended up getting bit twice on that deal. So the jobs are out there in all kinds of areas. We have, the state board has put into place some rules and regs for people who may have been working on another job outside of education and never really thought about it. But now, you know, you put in 10 years, 20 years, and you're like, wow, I think I would really like to go into education. And there are some ways to do that without stopping your whole world and going right back into college and relearning a whole new thing. We're opening it up to try to get those skilled people into our classrooms, those that are brand new coming out of college and those that have chosen a different career for a while and now want to come back.
Well, and I know one of the great things for those who just want to see if they, quote unquote, still have it or would be interested, there's that chance to try it out as a substitute teacher. And I know that's another crisis. It was already a crisis. And then COVID hit, and then the retired teacher would come back and teach once in a while, you know, was older, immunocompromised in a lot of cases. And as much as they love coming back, they're not coming back in those cases because of COVID fears. That is another monster to deal with. And I've seen, Bond County Unit 2 voted to up their substitute compensation to try to draw people. That is that's a heck of a situation right now.
It really is. We've always been needing subs, but it's in a desperate situation right now. All of my districts have raised their sub pay up to, I think everybody's over $100 a day now for a substitute teacher. The state of Illinois dropped the requirements. Formerly, you had to have a bachelor's degree to be a substitute teacher. We now have a short-term sub license available. So if you have an associate's degree or 60 hours, you can be a substitute in our schools. One of the great things we've done is partner with some colleges. Greenville University has education students that normally have classes on certain days a week and have a day or so open. And now they're able to take that after they get their first 2 years under their belt. They're able to get that short-term sub license and they're coming into our districts and subbing. It's great for the districts because they now have a substitute teacher. It's great for the students, especially those that think they want to be in education. They're going to get a firsthand look at what they're about to do. And then it's just a great team building atmosphere. You have districts that can mentor those new students and let them know. And it also, if you're not wanting to go into education, it gives you a great part-time job that you can earn some really decent money at and see what goes on in a school and get a good understanding for what you as a community member can do to help our schools and our teachers and our entire school staff.
Look at the Regional Superintendent of Schools Association. I saw one of the proposals on the table, put together some legislation, make it easier for retired teachers to return to the classroom. As you know, people retire after 3 minutes of putting your feet up in the old beach chair. I'm missing something. I'm just not, I thought I was ready, but I'm not. At least in a 4 to 5 year window, that would seem to be a help for people who want to come back in a final flourish in their careers.
Yep, absolutely. We teachers that retire can now come back for 120 days, or I think it's 600 hours. I don't quote me on the hours, but it's 120 days. But also in shortage areas, and as you've talked about, that's in almost all areas of teaching. If you've retired, you can actually come back and work full time and not affect your retirement. We're just that short on educators. And wow, we have some excellent ones that have retired in the past few years that, like you said, they're really wondering what they're supposed to be doing now. And here's a chance to get back in the classroom and have some fun with it.
You talk about the situation with schools. I mentioned it's a problem for urban, suburban, and rural. But looking at the survey, too, it looks like rural's hit hard. That a young teacher is wowed by this one school district that has the cool piece of architecture, the high school that just has the windows that glisten and gleam from the highway. And I don't know if I want to go there. It looks like it's got an old boiler on the outside. You know, just the way some kid out of school won't take might not take the chance to just really appreciate the charm of a local school at the rural level. And I guess it's just, I guess the fight's even a little more difficult to get the at-large student. When you try to get beyond, the student who wants to come home to teach.
Yeah, it really is. But our schools have really responded well to this. We've really set up some top-notch teacher mentoring programs to help those new teachers understand where they're coming in. And we don't just talk about what's in the classroom, but also their communities, so that if they are from a large city, they'll have a better listen to and understanding of small rural areas, but also to try to keep our most talented kids that come from rural areas to stay there or to come back after college. So we've got a lot of that going on. Our districts are really stepping up. The ROE is offering a lot of PD for the mentoring, helping those new teachers get along. And then we have universities like Eastern Illinois University that's doing the Rural Schools Collaborative that actually handpicks students and works with them while they're in college to encourage them to take a look at the small rural schools. So we see the problem, working hard to try to put a dent in it.
I guess now we can talk to young people, whether you're in high school or junior high, because kids think about college at a younger age, or you're just someone who, maybe a couple of years out, and in whatever endeavor you're involved in, It's just not fulfilling. You can't picture yourself doing it in 20 years. There aren't many opportunities these days to get involved in something where you think, you know what, I'm going to set roots in this town, I'm going to build a house and feel confident that I am going to be able to stay in this town. Certainly it happens with the public sector, and that's not always foolproof. But boy, if you go in and teach and do a good job, you can set roots, and there certainly is a lot of value in a successful teaching career. Just your reflections on what being a teacher brings to someone who takes on that field of endeavor.
Well, I'm going to tell you, Sean, I'm one of those people that didn't go into education first thing. I actually graduated with a degree in marketing and dreamed of doing some ad layouts for us older, more experienced folks out here. If you remember the show Bewitched, what Darren did with producing ads is what I dreamed of doing growing up. And it was, I ended up marrying a farmer. And when that happens, you don't move very far away. And so the marketing jobs really weren't what I wanted to do. And I had the great chance of watching some kids do something. And I thought to myself, man, if they'd only had a teacher that would have taught them this. And it sparked something in me. And I thought about it, and I've never looked back. It's been the most blessing that I've had in my life. I feel like it's put me in places that I never would have. It's given me opportunities for things I never would have seen. But it's really created that family around me that's taken myself and my family and has made our lives better and has shown me the importance of giving back to my community and, you know, with kids and working with adults and trying to do the best we can, because we all want to live in a great place. And one of the first ways to do that is through the education we provide to our young people. So it's a passion for me, and I just really encourage anyone that has that passion. And some people think that you have to have been a really super good student to be a good teacher. And I'm going to tell you right now, some of the best teachers I know didn't do so great in school, whether it was high school or college or whatever, because those teachers understand what it's like to struggle. So they really connect with those students that do that and help them get through that struggle. To me, teaching is just an awesome opportunity to be a part of something bigger than yourself. And yeah, it's tough. There are some really, really tough days, and maybe the pay isn't always that great, but being able to fulfill your passion and work with those people who do the same, it's an amazing opportunity, and I highly recommend it.
Well, Julie Wallerman, Regional Superintendent of Schools for Region 3, thanks so much for joining us. How can folks contact you or just kind of get a general stream of information? I see you're out there on Twitter, and I think Twitter is slowly catching on in these parts. But where can folks find out about various topics involving schools in the region and teaching opportunities, what have you?
Absolutely. They can always catch us on Twitter at Regional Office 3. We're also on Facebook for the Regional Office of Education 3. And we have offices in Vandalia, Effingham, Taylorville, and Hillsboro. Always catch me via email. Oh, check that probably too much, to be honest, at juliewallerman@ra3.org. We do have an electronic newsletter that people can sign up for, that we put out a lot of our professional development opportunities to know what's going on. So we'd love it to let anybody that wants to know. We're happy to share with them.
Well, thanks as always, and have a great weekend.
Thanks, Sean. Appreciate it.
The thing I like about talking to Julie, I always feel smarter at the end of the conversation than I did at the start. That's a wrap for Around Montgomery County. I'll see you next weekend for Forum. Sean Balint saying so long on WSMI.